You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
First of all, good morning, Bethel family. How you doing? Always, always good to be here and to be with you. And I'm thankful. As I drove here today, I thought about the privilege it is to know that where you're going to a space where people not only know your story, but also know what God has done for and through you. And so you don't ever feel like you're going to a group of strangers or people you're trying to figure out. You're going to family. It's kind of like a family reunion. And in my neighborhood, that's a pretty big deal. So for today, I want to spend some time tackling this topic of today, talking about being released, talking about what it looks like and what it sounds like and what it smells like and what it feels like to truly be released. See, in Luke 4:18, we get Jesus's mission statement after he's sitting in the temple and talking with the religious leaders, and he asks for the scroll, and he pulls out the scroll, and he goes to Isaiah 61, and he reads these words. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, what we see here is that Jesus is appointed by the Spirit to first proclaim the good news. It says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me. But then it says that Jesus was appointed by God to bring liberation to those who have been held captive. So not only was he anointed by the Spirit, but was appointed by the Father to go and bring liberation to those who have been held captive. And then he closes that by saying, so I have been released to proclaim the recovery of sight to the blind and let the oppressed go free. So Jesus was not only anointed by the Spirit, not only appointed by the Father, but Jesus was activated by God to liberate those who have been oppressed. So today we want to talk about, if Jesus was anointed, if Jesus was appointed, and if Jesus was activated, what is it that we should experience as those who are connected to this Jesus? Well, I want to spend some time dealing with the line that says, "He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives." I want to talk about the fact that Jesus was appointed by God to bring liberation to those who have been held captive. I want you just to look at the person next to you and just ask them three words. Look at them real good and say, "Are you captive?" Look at somebody else, because y'all didn't say it the way I said it. Look at somebody else. And let's say it again. "Are you captive?" Y'all still didn't say it like I said it. We'd be here all morning. Look at somebody. Get good eye contact and ask them a serious question. "Are you captive?" That was better. Y'all will get it later. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, primarily, there are three things by which we are often held captive. The first thing we are often held captive by is ourself. If we're honest, when we look in the mirror, we hardly ever see what other people see. We can look at ourselves in the mirror and people will say, "Oh my, you look like you've lost weight or you've been working out," and all you'll see is your flab. We'll hear people tell us how intelligent we are, or how smart we are, or how glad they are that we're in the class with them. And all we'll think about is how hard we had to study or how much we struggle to retain the information. We are often held captive by our own broken self-image. Not only are we often held captive by ourselves, but we are often held captive by our sin. Not only are we held captive by our sin, but we're held captive by the repercussions and the debts we pay for our sinful decisions. Often we don't feel liberated, we don't feel free, because we know that we keep falling short of the glory of God. It seems like everyone else tries to tell us how wonderful we are, and all we can think about is how much we fall short of who God desires us to be. And we're held captive because we cannot be who we long to be. And lastly, we're often held captive by society. We're held captive by society's standards and rules. No matter what we do, we can never keep up with what society has asked us to be. We will finally get the cool clothing, and then next month, those clothes aren't cool anymore. We'll finally get the new iPhone, and then they make a new iPhone with 3 cameras. We cannot keep up, no matter how hard we try. We set the bar here, and then society moves it here. They set the bar here, we move, and they move it here. And no matter how hard we try, we fall short. Our parents have standards for us. Our teachers have standards for us. Our friends have standards for us. Society keeps telling us who we're supposed to be, and we can't keep up. So what do we do with all of this captivity? What do we do with the fact that we're captive to ourselves and captive to sin and captive to society? Well, I'm glad to know that Jesus has some answers. And when you leave out of here today, I want you to leave out of here released. Released from yourself, released from your sin, and released from society's standards. So look. There's a passage of scripture that I want to go through today that I think will help us to understand true liberation. It will help us answer the question, are you captive? So there's this little story in Luke chapter 7, starting at verse 36, that I want to go through. Now, you know me very well. If anybody has ever heard me talk, you know I'm not about to read 36 through 50. As good as I read, nobody wants to hear that. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to use my own translation, and we're going to walk through Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. How many of you have ever heard the SSV before? All right, good. All right. For those who don't know, this translation of the Bible is called the Straight Street Version, the SSV. And what we're going to do is we're going to walk through this thing paraphrased, and I'm going to talk through it the way I would probably hear it talked about in Inglewood on the south side of Chicago, where I'm from, all right? So let's talk through Luke 7, and let's see if we can get free today. So the first thing I want you to recognize is that Jesus has just had a conversation with John the Baptist and his disciples. And so John and his disciples are trying to figure out whether this Jesus guy is really who John's been waiting for. So John, who's like, I'm too big to be walking where Jesus is to find out whether or not this is the guy is it. Because if he ain't him, I'm not wasting my time. So he says, hey, disciples, do me a favor. I'm going to be here eating chips, drinking some juice. Y'all go find this Jesus guy and find out if he's the one that I should be waiting for. So the disciples are like, cool. So they go on a little journey. They find John, Jesus, and they're like, hey, our guy John, we his disciples, we follow him. He wants to know whether or not you're like the Messiah guy, the one that he's been waiting on. Because if not, then he don't really want to waste his time with you. But Jesus is like, dang, he's pretty arrogant. I got you. Well, tell John this. Tell him, the sick have been healed, the blind have been made to see, the dead have been raised, the lame are walking again, and that's pretty much all the proof he need. And so disciples go back like, dang, he arrogant too, you know what I'm saying? And they go to John, they're like, hey, he said, people getting healed, bro. People walking, people getting raised from the dead. I think this might be him. And John's like, oh, shoot. Okay, tell you what. Let's go ahead and start letting everybody know that they need to stop following me and follow this guy, right? So Jesus' popularity is what I was trying to say. Jesus' popularity is growing, and people are starting to realize who he is, even the religious leaders, right? Like before, they were like, this guy getting on our nerves a little bit, but now he's really making noise, right? Instantly, he went from having like 100 followers to like 100K followers. And now they're like, this guy's making some noise. Hold on. So one of the religious leaders is like, hey, I'm going to invite this guy over for dinner. And we need to just find out if he really is who he says he is. You know, Jesus ain't going to turn down a good meal. You know, he ain't even got no place to lay his head. He can turn down no meal. So the Pharisee's like, hey, come to my crib and we're going to have dinner tonight. I'm going to introduce you to all the religious leaders and like the important folk. And Jesus is like, cool, free meal. Let's roll. So Jesus goes to the house, and when he gets to the house, he's sitting at this table, and it's like all the religious leaders and people from the neighborhood and all that. And Jesus is like, I done made it. I'm at the big boy table. But then there's a lady who self-described in the scripture is a sinner. I thought that was pretty interesting. I'm like, how many people will want their description to be a sinner? Like, let's introduce our speaker for today, Pastor Jay, the sinner. Anyway, that's the way she's described in the passage, right? A woman, and it says, who knows she's a sinner. It's like, it's not like this is a secret, right? Everybody knows who this woman is. So Jesus sits down at the table, and the woman finds out that Jesus is at dinner. Oh, guess who coming to dinner? Jesus is at the table. So it says that she goes, grabs the things that she got. She goes, get some ointment. Now, I don't know about y'all, but when I hear the word ointment, I just think that there's some stuff that she needed the ointment for, you know? But that's a whole another story, right? So she comes, she grabs her ointment, and she comes to the house where the Pharisees are having dinner. And she sees Jesus, and immediately it says that she goes up behind him and starts weeping profusely. Like, she's crying hard, like one of those hard cries where you got a little snot coming down, and the tears are like, and there's so much that they're like dripping off her face. We know because it says that she is wetting his feet with her tears. She crying so hard that it's dripping. Y'all remember those cries when you slobbed a little bit and it's like crying and it's dripping. I'm just trying to paint the picture for you. This is what the SSV does. And it's dripping. The tears are dripping off your face. And they hit his feet and she begins to take her hair and just dry and wipe and clean his feet with her tears. And then it says that she starts to kiss his feet. Now, if anybody ever knows anything about the way people got around, there were no Ubers, right? There were no Lyfts. Right? Nobody had a car. They walked around in sandals on dirty ground, and she is kissing his feet, right? Wiping them with the tears and kissing his feet. And then it says she pulls out the trusty ointment. Opens the tube like, and starts to anoint his feet with the ointment. And the Pharisee is like, hold on. This Jesus guy must not know who she is. Because if he knew who this woman was, he wouldn't even let her touch him. Doesn't he know she's a sinner? So Jesus kind of hears this and he says, look, man, let me tell you a story. Isn't it funny how Jesus never really responds to anybody? He just always starts telling stories. Jesus, how's your day? Well, there was a man who was walking. Anyway, so Jesus looks at me and says, hey, there's guys who owe debts to someone. One owes $500, the other one owes $50. And neither one of them can pay it. So the guy looks at him and says, I tell you what, neither one of y'all have to pay me back, just let it go. And then Jesus asked him, which one of them is going to be more appreciative? And that Pharisee says, well, the one that owes the 500, because he owed way more. He ought to be at least $450 more thankful. And so Jesus says, you're right. Now look at this lady, right? Ever since I walked in the door, you know, you're supposed to give me some water to clean my feet because I've been walking all day, but she came in and cleaned my feet with her tears. You're supposed to embrace me and hug me and give me a kiss on the cheek, let me know I was welcome in your house. You ain't even do that, but she had ceased to kiss my feet, right? You were supposed to anoint my head. I've been walking and sweating. You're supposed to make me smell good or something, and you haven't done anything, but she pulled out the ointment and been anointing my feet ever since I got here. So here's what I'm telling you. Sometimes people have to know what they've been forgiven before they actually are appreciative. Jesus looks at him and is like, now what? But then he looks at the woman and he says, lady, I need you to know something. I see you. You've been bathing my feet with your tears. You've been anointing me and all this good stuff. And you know that where many sins have been forgiven, that's where a lot of grace and worship comes from. Now, while Jesus looks at her, he says, your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees and the religious people at the table are like, who is this dude talking about he can forgive sins? Who is this guy that can forgive sin? And then Jesus doesn't even respond to them. He looks back at the woman and says, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Y'all, I need you to understand some things here. We're going to get into this thing really quickly, that Jesus liberates this woman from self. The first thing I want you to recognize is that the woman already knew she was a sinner. She knew she was a sinner, and that's why she was at the table. There was no shame in her sinner position. There was no shame in who she was. That's what brought her to the table with Jesus. Not only did she know she was a sinner, but she knew where Jesus was having dinner. What you got to recognize about being liberated from self is not that you need to fix yourself, is that you need to know where Jesus is. See, what she recognizes is that if Jesus was at the table, that means that she needed to get to the table. She needed to be where Jesus was, regardless of what everybody else at the table had to say about her. She didn't care if they thought she was the worst sinner. She didn't care what they said about her. She knew that Jesus was at the table, and so she needed to be at the table. Some of us need to stop hiding from folks because we don't want folks talking about us and get to where Jesus is. That's how you get liberated from self. Stop looking at yourself in the mirror, trying to see what you want to see, and get where Jesus is so he can show you what he sees. The next thing is, she brought with her what she had. It says that she brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She didn't have oil. She didn't have the perfume. She didn't have the good stuff. She had ointment. But what she had, she brought with her. What you have, use it. You may not be the greatest worship leader. You may not be able to play the piano. You may not be able to preach. You may not be able to do all the things that people elevate as what God loves. But what you have, you bring it with you. Because the way you have been created as yourself is the way that God desires you to be. Liberate yourself from the captivity of what yourself has to say. You are created in the image of God, and therefore what you bring with you is what God gave you. And it's more than enough. Not only do you need to be liberated from self, but this lady shows us how to be liberated from sin and its debt. And it says that if this man, Jesus, would have known who this woman is, he wouldn't even let her touch him. And Jesus looks like, I do know who she is. See, what you got to recognize about your sin is that Jesus already knows. Now, I know people usually tell you that to scare you, to say, Jesus sees what you do in the dark. What goes in the dark comes to light. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying Jesus already knows. I'm saying Jesus already knows your sin. Whew. Like, I don't have to hide this thing. I don't have to figure out how I'm going to manage it. Jesus already knows what I struggle with. Jesus already knows what I do in the dark. Jesus already knows who I am. What do I care about hiding it from y'all for? Jesus already knows, so I can deal with it. I can confess it. I can admit it. I can come to the table and not worry about the debt of it because Jesus already knows. And when Jesus wants the Pharisee to know he knows, he speaks to him on behalf of the woman. Jesus speaks to him and says, let me tell you a story, brother. Let me help you understand something. Not only does Jesus know your sin, but Jesus is speaking on your behalf. Oh, see, some of y'all don't know that. You don't know that not only is Jesus speaking on your behalf down here, but Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father right now, speaking on your behalf. He knows what you're dealing with, and he's saying to the Father, Father, I know you see what they're dealing with. Father, I know you know what they're struggling with, but I want you to know that when I went to the cross, that all of that that they're struggling with now was pinned up on there with me. All that they're struggling with was pierced through my side. All that they're struggling with went through my wrists and my ankles, and on their behalf, I say, forgive them, Lord. Jesus is speaking on your behalf. Worry about what other people have to say. Be liberated from your sin. Lastly, he tells them a story about a man who cancels their debts. One owes 500, one owes 50, but both of them get their debts canceled. Can I tell you something? Not only does Jesus already know your sin, not only has Jesus advocated for your sin, but Jesus has already covered your debt. Just because you sin today doesn't mean you pay the debt for it. It means that Jesus already paid the debt for it, and you can face it, you can confess it, you can admit it, and you can be free. Liberated from sin. Not only are we liberated from self and from sin, but we are liberated from society. Oh, my favorite, y'all. You see, Jesus looks at the Pharisee and says, do you see this woman? Do you see this woman? That's all I want to say. Jesus sees us. Jesus sees us even when society does it. Jesus sees us when it seems like we're the minority around. Jesus sees us when it seems like the world is catered towards someone different than me. Jesus sees us when no matter how hard I try, I feel like I'm alienated or I'm strange or I'm not the one. I don't dress the way I'm supposed to dress. I don't talk the way I'm supposed to talk. I don't look the way I'm supposed to look for society to accept me. But Jesus sees you the way you are, not the way society says you should be. Jesus sees you in you. Not in the way society desires you to be. Not only does Jesus see her, but he says that she was bathing my feet and wiping my feet and clearing them with his tears. He wants you to know that your worship, however you bring it, is enough even when society doesn't think so. Y'all do know that society tells you that your career, your degrees, your job, your amount of expertise, your money, your bank account, your prestige is what makes you somebody. But Jesus tells her something totally different. It's not what this Pharisee says that you are that matters. It's who you know you are in comparison to me. What she recognizes when she gets liberated from society is that if she can see Jesus for who he is, then Jesus will see her for who she is. Y'all, worship is enough even when society tries to tell you you need more. When society tries to you need a certain job, you tell them, I just need to lift my hands and worship. When society tries to tell you you got to dress a certain way, you tell them, I just need to love the Lord with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. When they try to tell you that a certain way you got to talk, and a certain way you got to look, and a certain way you got to sing, and a certain music you got to listen to, you tell them, I just lift my hands to the Lord, and I lift my eyes to the hills, for where comes my help, because that's enough. Her sins, which were many, had been forgiven, y'all. I need you to understand that realness loves on the level in which you have been forgiven, y'all. So, lastly, he says, who is this that has forgiven sin? And he says to her, your sins are forgiven. Those who are at the table with him say amongst themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he says to them, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I need y'all to hear the words of Jesus. He says, your sins are forgiven. He says, your faith has saved you. He says, go in peace. Jesus' promises of liberation to the woman was immediate. He did not say, your sins will be forgiven. He did not say, your faith will save you. He did not say, go and seek peace. No, our sins are forgiven.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu or check us out on the iTunes Store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.